You're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. Good evening, I'm Al Vohner. Nice to have you with us this Sunday evening. No doubt about it, for perhaps decades, a silence among employees, especially women and minorities in the workplace, over the perpetuation of harassment and bullying by those in power. And it's nothing new, but it's certainly an issue that is front and center today. I don't think any news broadcast or anything on the web or even in newspapers, you won't find something, some passage, or somebody talking about this this particular topic really becoming front and center in the workplace. And joining me this week is Lauren Stiller Ricklean. She is the president of the Ricklean Institute for Strategic Leadership here in Massachusetts, and also the author of the new book, Shield of Silence, How Power Perpetuates a Culture of Harassment and Bullying in the Workplace. And as I said, the timing of the book couldn't be any better because the issue is front and center. So we'll be talking with Lauren for the next half hour. Lauren, nice to have you with us.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
I grew up in a in an all-male dominated business. It was a small retail industry. So I didn't see much of that in terms of the power play. But later on, working in different organizations, both on the public sector side and the private, certainly saw that. And it wasn't just, you know, men dominating women or women dominating men. I mean, it crossed all kinds of boundaries. And a lot of people, I think, maybe 30, 40 years ago would have thought, well, this is the system. This is how it goes. But it's no longer tolerated, is it?
Well, it isn't tolerated. The question is the silence over? And that's really what the book focuses on. What we see, I mean, certainly since the Harvey Weinstein revelations of October 2017, we've seen time after time of these shocking stories of famous people who have harassed or bullied or otherwise caused harm to people in the workplace. And we've been reading about this, it feels nonstop, through the Me Too movement. But in most workplaces, people are still afraid to speak up in the face of bullying or sexual harassment or other types of behaviors that cause harm. So there's certainly more recognition, there's more attention paid to this issue, but I hear from people constantly, and the research tells us that people are still fearful that if they speak up, there will be retaliation. And that's the heart of the book, talking about this fear, the retaliation issues, and what we can do about it.
Lauren, I alluded to it at the beginning, but I'm sure it goes much deeper in the book and in preparing for the book, the research that you did. I think, as I said, I touched upon the fact that it's probably more likely to happen to a woman or perhaps a minority. Am I on track here, or is this really cross all boundaries?
You are absolutely on track. These types of behaviors are about power. So when they talk about sexual harassment, generally speaking, sexual harassment is not about sex. It's about the misuse of power. And it's about privilege, or it's about how people are able to treat others in certain ways because they can and because of whatever issues they themselves have. But the research is quite clear on this. It is very much about power imbalances and how people misuse that role.
I also, you know, I'm sure you've done this. If you talk to, especially in a large company, if you talk to people and they say, well, you know, I brought it to the attention of human resources because that's, you know, they're specifically, their role is hiring, perhaps firing, mm-hmm. Working along with employees, helping them on various issues. How effective are human resource departments today? Do they really do their job, or are they kind of hiding their head in the sand?
Well, it's an excellent question, because that is a pervasive theme when you research in this area. And what the research tells us is that HR people themselves are often in conflict. So their job may be to try to put in place a system. But if the perpetrator is their boss or somebody important to the corporation, or maybe just part of a pervasive culture, then the HR department is put into a bit of a dilemma, because is their job to protect the employee, or is their job to protect the corporation or the organization? And that's where things get murky, because really the HR the head in department serves at the pleasure of the CEO, or the person in charge. So we can't assume that the HR department has the complainant's best interest at heart. We have to be careful about where that person's loyalties may be, or where they fear, or they themselves fear for retaliation. So the answer is not as easy as go to HR, unfortunately.
And I suppose perhaps more so in the past than today, if the employee felt that they weren't getting anywhere, they weren't getting satisfaction from HR or management, and then they go outside the firm, they go outside the organization, hire themselves a lawyer, and then it goes to litigation. Even if they won in court, they don't have a job.
Well, that's true. Hopefully, if they win in court, though, they might be in a better position to get another job. I mean, it is complicated when somebody pursues their legal remedies in courts, in terms of how the court systems over years have handled these types of cases. It isn't the kinds of solutions that one would hope. Often, there's not a great body of case law that's been built up. So, people who have been victimized have very legitimate reasons to worry about retaliation. But the point of writing this book is to figure out ways that we don't despair about it, but we try to have solutions, and we try to focus on, you know, what can be done. Because one of the other things I should point out is it isn't only victims of behaviors that are impacted. It's bystanders as well. If you are in a workplace where you see somebody getting harassed, or you see people bullied, you as a bystander are deeply impacted by this on many fronts. You may want to intervene but feel you can't. You may be worried about, are you next? So the impacts to bad behaviors at work really do affect the bottom line, and they affect employees across the board.
I have heard people talk, hasn't happened to me personally, and I've never experienced it personally, but I have heard of situations, with the topic at hand, where if management or the supervisor of an organization is a male and he has to have a one-on-one with a female, he asks for a third or even a fourth participant to be in on that meeting, yeah. And vice versa. If it's a woman having to talk with a male subordinate, it's kind of a creepy feeling, Lauren, thinking that that humans, a man and a woman, can no longer sit in the same room for fear of one or the other saying something, doing something, and needing a witness. How pervasive is that?
Well, in the book, I talk about that as the Me Too backlash. And one of the recommendations that I have is that we have to resist that backlash, because the answer to discrimination in the form of sexual harassment or bullying is not more discrimination in terms of opportunities for people who you fear might claim harassment or bullying. And the irony about it, you're right, this has become a big issue, but the irony of it is that the whole underlying concern is that people stay silent and they're afraid to speak up. So if people are afraid to speak up in the face of legitimate harassment and bullying, why on earth do you think you are at risk if you are having a professional meeting with somebody about issues in your office? So I feel very strongly, as you could probably tell, about this issue, because all the idea of, well, I have to bring someone in, or I can't go out to dinner with a female colleague, or whatever position someone's taking along those lines does, is it further discriminates against the individual and removes opportunities that her male colleagues get day in and day out.
Right, right. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it creates, as you said, a very uncomfortable environment. And I'm sure, sometimes it's hard enough to get up in the morning to go to work, whether you love the job or not, but to have to have that feeling it's just a creepy feeling. And I've heard that from people, especially women. I mean, they're telling me, it's so creepy when I have to have a one-on-one, but I know it's important. It's just unfortunate that we get to that point. I want to take a quick pause and let people know that you're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. I'm Al Vona, your host. My guest this week is Lauren Stiller Ricklin, and she is the author of the new book, Shield of Silence. She's also the president of the Ricklin Institute for Strategic Leadership here in Massachusetts. And we're talking about the issue that just doesn't seem to go away, and that is the perpetuation of power in not only the workplace, but almost in any organization where people have to fear harassment and bullying in the workplace. And she talks in length and goes into in discussion about those issues and how it impacts both men and women. Lauren, let me ask you. I'm a baby boomer. I assume you are too. We grew up in a different generation. How is it different? I guess the question is it different for millennials? Do they approach the workplace? I mean, I see young college students, young high school students, male and female. They seem to work alongside better than the baby boomers did. So does generations make a difference?
They do to some extent. What I've seen in the research and a lot of the speaking and training that I do, especially when I'm talking to millennials, the interesting thing I'll hear is that they wish they could count on baby boomers more when they have a problem. So somebody may have an incident happen to them or something that is inappropriate, or it may be illegal, it may not, but it's wrong for by any measure. And they'll take that concern to maybe a trusted female who's older or somebody else older in the workplace. And often the response that I'm told is that, well, this is the way it's been. That wasn't such a terrible thing that happened. This is life in the workplace. Let me tell you about what my experiences were like as I was becoming more senior. And that is something that I find younger people get really angry about, and that certainly drives attrition and drives people leaving the workplace much more quickly, because they want to be in an environment where people are building cultures of respect and inclusion. And I think that one specific generational shift that I see is that focus, that for younger people today, they are looking for culture in an organization that says we care about our employees and it matters to us. And I think that is a shift. I think more senior generations are used to being in the workplace and it is what it is, and they just have to adapt. And there is a greater feeling often of independence and willing to take a risk if the culture really gets bad for younger people.
Question I've been dying to ask you, power. You may not have been born with power, wealth, or all the other things that go along with that. But let's say that you've been successful. You went to college, you worked your way up the ladder. Now you're CEO or in a high management position. That's like an aphrodisiac for many people. I mean, as much as they may downplay that. Mm-hmm. So people who, came from simple, humble backgrounds and then rise to immense power or just in a position of power, does that play into it? I mean, I'm just wondering if people who are basically very nice in grammar school, high school, and even college, as soon as they get that, the boardroom or the corner office, does their personalities change?
It's so funny that you asked that. I have been fascinated by that question my own entire career as a lawyer, is, in many different walks of life, is a volunteer leader, and watching people and watching how people react to power. And your observation is spot on. People, regardless of their childhood or their earlier experiences, sometimes get into positions of authority and power, and my gosh, they are feeling it and they want to exercise that. And, you know, sometimes I'd sit back and I'd look at it and think, really? Because remember where you were a few years ago?
Exactly.
But people do that. It's human nature, I suppose, to some extent. And then, you know, part of my mind always goes to, what are you going to be like when you're older? And your kids hate you, or the, you know, you have no relatives left. Because we all end up kind of in similar situations. Yeah. But along the road, we tend to forget that. But that doesn't make it any better for people who have to work with and deal with these personalities in the workplace.
Right.
But power has a way of corrupting, and it doesn't have to be supercharged power. It can just be opportunities to have influence and authority in the workplace and being ill-equipped to handle it.
Yeah, I mean, the hierarchy, you know, it's been in existence since the dawn of time. Mm-hmm. You know, people holding position, moving up on the ladder, and that's just, I mean, that's the reward for working hard. That's what we've always been taught. Work hard and you'll get someplace in life. I know of a situation, I just want to run this by you, if you've seen, there's a lot of experimentation going on in the workplace today. In regards to issues like this, rather than have any one person dictating, whether it's middle management, upper management, down through the layers, one small business in particular brings everybody in. And you know, of course, that can't be done when you have 100, 200, 300 employees. Perhaps it gets a little too chaotic. But this gentleman is trying this. And I said, well, how does that, you know, what difference does it make? Someone who has a strong personality is going to try and dominate the group anyway, and they will look like the bully. So, I mean, I guess what I'm asking is, what works? I mean, how do you keep this from becoming an issue in the workplace so that everybody comes every day, provided that's where they want to work, feeling fulfilled and feeling that they don't have to fear bullying or someone, you know, pushing them around? How do you eradicate that?
Well, you change culture from the top. And I believe whether it is a business of two or a business of 200,000, you can develop a culture of respect by what you demand when you are at the top of the organization, how you hold people accountable for their behaviors. We often measure compensation and other indicia of success by how much money somebody brings in or other bottom line oriented kinds of behaviors. Well, what if we started holding people accountable for how frequently people turnover in their department because they can't stand working for somebody, or how many times complaints emerge about someone's behavior? Or what if we just start putting in place different kinds of accountability measures that show that this is a place where people are expected to respect each other and to treat each other well? If you have that kind of leadership from the top, you can change any organization.
You had talked about, and it's made front page news, you know, the Weinstein case certainly comes to mind. And more recently, the Jeffrey Epstein, a little bit different. But here are individuals who basically did come from very humble backgrounds, but rose to tremendous wealth and power. And I have heard, at least in regards to the Weinstein case, that many top executives within that company certainly knew what the boss was doing, you know, knew what he was trying to, you know, get away mm-hmm. with. But, you know, they were making so much money, and I'm going to emphasize the money. And you alluded to this earlier that, you know, a lot of people, know the difference between right and wrong. But boy, you know, they want that $10,000 bonus at the end of the year, and they're not going to rock the boat. When big money comes into play and leadership is doing something wrong, you know, somebody's being bullied, being harassed, being belittled. But, you know, both in terms of your own power and status and the money, that's going to make it awful hard for someone to, turn the boss in, if you will.
It absolutely. I wrote an article very recently for Medium, and this was in regard to the Jeffrey Epstein case, talking about look for the enablers, because you're right. You can't abuse at that level without there being enablers around who will turn a blind eye, who will be complicit in the Jeffrey Epstein case. It's who will actually go out and procure women for you. But you can't do any of this without people who are helping you in one way or another. And in every workplace, I go back again to the responsibility of the CEO. And if the CEO is not doing it correctly, the board of directors ought to be much more aggressively involved in this. What is happening in this workplace? Who might be perpetrating inappropriately or causing bad behaviors? And who are the enablers? Because you can't, again, you just can't cause this level of difficulty without people turning a blind eye. Yes, people will want the money. Often people are just afraid. But if someone is willing at a top level to demand a change in culture, that's how it will happen. And what's funny about all this, or it's not funny, it's actually sad, is that there's so much data out there and so much research that tells us that if you work in an environment where people respect one another, where people don't have to be fearful to go to work every day, the business is more profitable. Businesses do better. There's so much data that supports that. If you just focus on people coming to work and feeling engaged and proud of where they work, you produce a better product, you run a better nonprofit, you do better overall. So there's no real incentive to not be engaged as a leader around these issues.
I mean, that makes perfect sense. I mean, it's almost like, you know, you don't need a Harvard degree to figure that out. That's just common sense. Yes. But so many people overlook that. Another question I wanted to ask in research for the book and just your own personal experience, is there one industry that this is more of a problem than others? I mean, is it small business? Is it manufacturing? Is it service businesses? Is there any one industry that tends to be more likely to harass and bully employees?
One of the things I did when I started writing the book is look at that exact question. And what I found is the answer is no. There is sort of equal opportunity harassment and bullying takes place everywhere. There's just no one answer to that. You have the right conditions for that types of behavior in any environment, and whether it's the restaurant industry or manufacturing or the legal profession or medicine, you will have those behaviors.
Because a lot of people will ask that, so I'm glad you clarify that, because it can be anywhere. It can
Absolutely.
Be anywhere at all. It can be in a doctor's office. It can be in a law office. It can be in a major manufacturing facility. As Lauren has pointed out, it is just pervasive and it's everywhere. But now that the issue's out there, Lauren, hopefully, I think it really sends a message. It may not cure the problem completely right away, but I think we're on the right path. Just the fact that it's been brought to the surface, just the fact that we've seen people brought to justice, is very telling, and I think it guarantees or gives those people who feel that they've been harassed or bullied that they finally have a voice, and people are recognizing this as an issue. Again, the book is Shield of Silence, How Power Perpetuates a Culture of Harassment and Bullying in the Workplace. My guest has been Lauren Stiller, Ricklean, the author of that book. Lauren, obviously people will go out and buy the book, but also maybe want to know a little bit about your background and the work that you've put into this and your experiences. Is the way they can reach you directly?
Oh, sure. My website is ricklean.com, R-I-K-L-E-E-N, that's my last name, ricklean.com, and they can contact me through there anytime.
And the Ricklean Institute is based right here in Massachusetts as well. So Lauren is a local, as they say, and has worked quite a bit on this issue, I'm sure, not only as an attorney, but just in her experiences throughout. So again, Shield of Silence, How Power Perpetuates a Culture of Harassment and Bullying in the Workplace. A great read. And even if you're not the one being harassed, even if you're not the one being bullied, as Lauren has said during the interview, perhaps you know someone who is, or maybe a family member or a neighbor, a close friend who in their workplace feel very uncomfortable because of what's going on. This can certainly be of help to them as well. If you have any questions about the broadcast, you can certainly give us a call here at the studios at WICN. Our main number is 508-752-0700. You can pose any questions, comments, or feedback to me directly. I certainly welcome that. That's Al Vona, V-U-O-N-A, at WICN.org. Or just go to our safe and secure website, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you'll see the multitude of programming that we do here at WICN. Certainly appreciate that. For the public eye, this is Al Vona. Lauren, still there?
Yeah.
Great job. I mean, nice flow. I know I just kind of threw questions out there, but, you know, as you were talking, I'm just like jotting down things, but some of those were just, because I'm sure you've had experience. I know I have. I've got a woman right now, my next door neighbor. You know, she's now at UMass Medical, and she's been on for less than a month. This is a new job for her. Her husband's a professor at Worcester Tech. But she has found that time and again, she's gone to her supervisor, who happens to be a woman, another woman.
Yeah.
And she's saying, you know, she wants to learn more of the position they hired her for. They said they would also train. Instead, they tell her, well, don't worry, we're going to get to that next week. And they've told her, just play video games.
Oh my God.
Can you? I said, Nancy, what? She goes, yeah. And she says, you know, in the meantime, she says, you know, I can't hold everybody's hand, or I can't spend time with everybody. But you know, you're doing a great job up to the point that you've been trained for and what we've asked of you. But in the meantime, she says, I can't sit there and she says, that's not what I want to do. She says, this is not fulfilling. She says, I don't know what to do. She says,
oh my God.
Yeah, and she's a new hire, so she certainly doesn't want to rock the boat and look like, oh geez, you know, they gave her a job 4 or 5 weeks ago and she's already ready to take someone down.
Oh my God, what kind of position is it?
She has something to do with not medical billing, but some kind of research. I mean, she's very good at that. That's what she did. In fact, her husband had her on the part-time job at Worcester Tech doing similar stuff, but you know, funding for that fell through. So she was never in the medical industry, and I don't know how often you travel out to the Worcester area, but UMass is like a small city.
Oh yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, it's just unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, you can easily get lost over there. Yep. But she feels so frustrated. She feels, you know, because she's not one of those. I want to go to work. I want to do 8 hours of work. I don't want to twiddle. I would have stayed home, she said, but I've got 3 grown kids now. I wanted to get back into the workforce full time.
Right.
And this was what she was told. And she said, I think that's harassment. And I said, I don't know, Nancy. I'm not an attorney, but let me ask you, is that when someone says, look, don't worry about it, we'll get to that sooner or later, and then tells you to just kind of, you know, fill your day however you think need be. I mean, I don't know.
I don't think it's harassment. I think it's really bad management.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's nuts. But I think that, you know, she'll lose her mind if this is really what's going on, I guess. I mean, I think, this is where I always say to people, there has to be, or hopefully in every work environment, there's someone you can trust. There's someone you can